moment. It's the Kyle Selagi Variety Hour. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Kyle Selagi Variety Hour, brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group's Bills Wire. Wouldn't be possible without them, without the great team over at Bills Wire working to make this podcast every week. Those great guys over at Bills Wire, Nick Wotan. That's where the list ends, I do believe. today we have a wonderful episode for you. You might be wondering, I thought last week you said you were changing up the podcast format and everything. I thought you were doing more variety topics. Well, guess what? The times there are changing again. We're back to Bills football. We're back to a mock draft, post-2020 NFL draft combine mock draft. So, full disclosure, none of us really watched the combine, so we probably would have made the same picks before the combine as well. But now that I wrote post-combine mock draft in the headline, it gives you the impression that we did watch the combine and that the combine impacted our draft grades and the players we will take, when in all actuality, it didn't whatsoever. But it's still a post-combine mock draft because it's after the combine. So we're going to go through the full seven rounds, and we are going to see who the Buffalo Bills should take in this mock draft. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful, as it always is on this podcast. And joining me to make these mock selections, first, it's returning from a hiatus. It's McKenna Middlebrook. McKenna, where were you at,
though? I was upon Stoke-on-Trent.
Okay.
Talking to the Port Vale Football Club, seeing if we can get their sponsorship.
And?
Still no word yet.
Okay. I love the idea of you going to the headquarters and they just don't talk to you.
Just like sitting in the lobby for like 8 hours. Like,
hey, yeah.
What are you doing here?
McKenna's going to write a letter like the kid wrote to Jurgen Klopp.
Oh, maybe we should do that.
Did somebody write a letter to Jurgen?
Yeah, a Manchester United fan wrote a letter to Jurgen Klopp asking Liverpool to lose. And like then the next game they played.
And then they did.
They lost. Did.
Like a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
So can we link Jurgen Klopp to Man U now?
Yes, confirmed. He's an
legally, we can make that connection. Also here, it's Justin DeLauro. D'Lo, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, Kyle?
I'm fine. you know, I am on, like, I don't want to say I'm still recovering because I fully recovered. I got Friday beers this week. I
Me
think
too.
This was, it's a, Friday beers is just a movement that has encapsulated our generation. It's truly entered the zeitgeist. Nick Wotan is the biggest Friday beer supporter I know. I think he's a little old for Friday beers, but he's still in that wheelhouse, if you will. He's on the tail end of the wheelhouse of acceptable age for Friday beers. This is just the roast Nick Wotan hour, but it doesn't matter. He doesn't listen to the podcast.
You can have Friday beers whenever you want. I was thinking about like Friday beers when I'm like in my 60s and 70s, but you know.
I feel like when you're in your 60s and 70s, D'Lo, I think it'll move on from Friday beers. Oh my God, someone's pounding on my door. What's going on? Did you hear that?
Yes.
Is it a robbery?
No, I don't know what's going on.
Are we getting the robbery live on podcast?
Somebody's breaking into McKenna's dorm.
Yeah, no.
Get ready.
Hell yeah, okay. Dude.
All right, I think we're good.
Does your roommate want to be a guest speaker?
No.
Okay. They can make a selection if they want. We'll let them announce the seventh round. Like the guest. Like they have Thurman Thomas. And Daryl Talley announcing picks. Here to announce our seventh round selection, it's McKenna's roommate.
The person breaking into my room.
By like the seventh round, it's usually like, here's now Keith Tobridge with the selection.
Here,
like
here
the
to announce,
mayor of it's Rochester.
It's Jason Kroom here to announce this seventh round pick. So, I think it's time to get started on this mock draft here, just because last time we did a mock draft, it went pretty far, you know, the podcast-wise. It went like an hour and a half deep, if I remember correctly.
It did.
But also, we've been having this streak of just breaking the podcast runtime, record each and every week. So maybe we extend it to like a fourth week here. I really don't want to because I have stuff to do today. I have a lot of homework to do.
You didn't do your homework when you were in the middle of a blizzard earlier in the week?
I did not. Well, that's the thing. This is I don't want to go off about Buffalo State, even though I do quite often. I've just had a ridiculous amount of homework this semester already. I hate it. It's ridiculous. but hey, we still find time. We still find time to do the podcast just because we love you, our loyal viewers here of the Kyle Szalagi Variety Hour, 400 strong. what was I talking about?
We should just stream our Google Hangout for everybody.
We could. They could see you guys. I should just tweet the link, and then I'll just have random people enter throughout the podcast.
They can announce the selections.
That is a hilarious idea for a podcast. Just tweet the link and have people enter and just be like, "Hello, what's going on? What is this?"
We should do that for the actual draft, the first round.
Yes. That's what we'll do for the draft. I will tweet the podcast link. I'll live stream it on Google Hangouts or whatever, and people can just enter whenever they want. Whoever can enter. This is going to be hilarious. That's how we'll get OJ Simpson to be on the podcast. Is I'll tweet the link at OJ, and he'll accidentally click on it.
After you insulted him that one time, and we were worried for your life.
He'll come on and say, "Hey, Twitter world." I'm asking to get killed this week. Between OJ Simpson and Nick Wotan, I am asking to
and for Buff someone State. To
and Buff State. Ooh, that might be my biggest threat there. Bengals. That might be my biggest issue.
Go Bengals.
I am asking for my life to be ended this week. Also, I'll keep throwing shade. I know you guys are probably thinking, the audience and you guys, like, where's Travis this week? You know, last week you said you're gonna have local comedian Travis come on. He was gonna be a frequent guest on the podcast. Travis actually did do stand-up again this week, so that's another story. I wish he were here to tell it, but no, he said he can't do it this week, which is probably a good thing, because Travis, I love Travis, he's my oldest friend, but also every idea we've ever had dies. Everything we've ever tried to do dies almost immediately. So for him to be on this podcast, that probably didn't bode well for the future of the podcast, so we'll see. Maybe he'll come on again, maybe he won't. We'll figure it out as it goes. So, do we want to talk about the Sabres, or do we just want to get into the draft here?
Why would you want to talk about the Sabres, though? That's the thing.
The Sabres did make a few trades. They acquired winger Wayne Simmonds and center Dominic Cahoon, maybe? I don't know. He's a forward. I actually watched a Sabres game. I watched the first period of the Buffalo Sabres at Arizona Coyotes game yesterday, or Saturday. I watched the first period. They were up 2-0, and I was like, these trades played out. You know, they worked out. We saw Dominic Cahoon set up Marcus Johansson for that first goal, and Wayne Simmonds doing all the work on the Jeff Skinner goal. I was like, wow, just what beautifully executed trades here by Jason Botterill. And then they lost 5-2. So, I think that's all about the Sabres. D'Lo, anything to add about the Sabres?
They're 0-3 since the trade deadline.
Are they?
Yep.
That's not good. I would say that's actually bad.
And the one thing they had to do was get a number two center, and they didn't really do that.
Well, what do you mean? They got two wingers. They got two bottom six wingers.
I mean, it's pretty good. I mean,
if you add that up, doesn't that equal number two center?
Jeff Skinner scored 2 goals in the last 3 games.
Oh, he's getting hot on, you know, that road back to 40.
You know, when you got your centers, Curtis Lazar, when you got a fourth line centering your $9 million guy.
Is that actually what's happening?
Yeah, he was on a line with Lazar and Simmonds.
I just wish they were smart, I think. I'm not getting into this. They're just very dumb at all levels. I feel so bad for Jack Eichel. I'm almost to the point where the Sabres should relocate and then Buffalo gets an expansion team, just because I guarantee that team would win a Stanley Cup before the Sabres would.
I just love that when Simmonds was traded, they trade for the guys and, you know, whatever, the Sabres, you know, media puts out their new numbers, and all of a sudden they're like, Simmonds is number 17. Mm-hmm. And we just act like Vladimir Sobotka doesn't exist anymore.
He doesn't. Now he's just hashtag.
He's just hashtag. He doesn't even have a number.
He's hashtag Vladimir Sobotka. I think it's time to get started on the 2020 Buffalo Bills mock draft. Again, we're not doing trades. This is no trade mock draft. I think it's important to note here that these aren't necessarily predictions for what the Buffalo Bills will do, because they could trade up, they could trade down. But this is just like, I would say 30 to 40% prediction of what could actually happen. And the other percentage, like, what we would do if we were in charge of the team and this situation presented itself in the draft. If they were at 22 and all the receivers were gone, what they would do, or etc. I don't know how it's going to play out. So, are you guys ready to get started here?
Very ready.
I'm excited.
I'm excited. These mock drafts are always a ton of fun, just because they're a ton of fun, you know? I'm excited because, well, I was excited. You feel me?
Well, the last time we did one, we got a first-round pick in the fifth round.
We did. We got Patrick Queen, and here we go. Joe Burrow goes one to the Bengals. Chase Young, two to the Redskins. Isaiah Simmons to the... Wow, Isaiah Simmons went to Detroit at three. Isaiah Simmons had a huge combine. I'm just trying to look. Justin Herbert went to the Dolphins. That's probably... Did he go before Tua? He went before Tua. CeeDee Lamb is the first receiver off the board over Jerry Jeudy. He went to Arizona, reuniting with
Jerry
the
Jeudy
boy.
Jerry Jeudy goes to the Jets, though.
Henry Ruggs went... Oh, Tua goes to Indy. Henry Ruggs went to Oakland. Jordan Love goes to Tampa Bay. Justin Jefferson goes to the Broncos. There are four receivers off the board here. Jeff Okuda went 16?
16.
Wow.
Andrew Thomas went 18?
This thing's drunk right now.
This is chaotic. Okay, so let's look at where we are on the board. We're at 22. Players, potential Bills targets who have went already. really none. I want Isaiah Simmons, but obviously the Bills aren't getting up to...
He's going to be a top 10 pick after the combine. He was a machine.
He's going to be a top 3 pick after the combine, I think. I mean, here's the thing. Isaiah Simmons, his lack of position scares me. I realize people are like, oh, wonderful, he can play any position I want him to play. But he doesn't have a position. Like if you are a team like the Bills and you have a wonderful defense, Isaiah Simmons is a beautiful luxury pick. Because you can seriously put him wherever you want. He's just, you know, that not even situational. You can just put him wherever, and he's going to wreak havoc because your defense is just that good. If he goes to Detroit, I mean, it'd be intriguing to have Matt Patricia with him. But also, I really don't like Detroit's defense. I think that's... You're going to ask him to do too much, I feel, there. Justin Herbert goes five, so that's good. They Miami messes up their quarterback pick, so that's good for the Bills long term. Mekhi Becton's another guy who had a huge combine. The Chargers in this mock draft took him at six over to a Tagovailoa. That's how you pronounce it.
Good job.
Thank you. CeeDee Lamb reuniting with Kyler Murray. That would be super fun. CeeDee Lamb with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. Ooh, that would be so much fun. See, I was thinking about paying the $10 and having the ability to trade, and I was going to tell you guys... if we get to 10 and either CeeDee Lamb or Isaiah Simmons are there, I think we trade the house and we move up to get them. But also, I'm glad I didn't pay the $10 because neither of them were there at 10.
Restart the draft at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs go back-to-back. Henry Ruggs, I think Henry Ruggs is very good, but at 12, that's actually probably a good place for him. And in this mock, Oakland can't take Jeudy or Lamb, so Ruggs makes sense at 12. Tua and Jordan Love, 13 and 14, that makes sense. Justin Jefferson at 15, I think that would be a huge,
that's a huge reach. That's a big jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Justin Jefferson is fine, but also he played with the best quarterback in the country, probably the best college quarterback we've seen since Andrew Luck, and he didn't have any production before that, and I understand LSU typically has good receivers, they just don't have a good quarterback, so now that he had a good quarterback, he obviously was going to have good production. But I just don't love Justin Jefferson. I think he's a fine player, but I wouldn't take him with the 15th pick in the draft. I wouldn't even take him with the 22nd pick in the draft.
But that's something the Broncos would do, though. They're famously not really good at drafting under John Elway. You know, they took Tebow at 30, 31 or something?
It was something, yeah.
It was like 26 even. It was Tim Tebow.
Jeff Okuda, that's the biggest slide in this draft. There's going to be someone who slides. I don't think it's going to be Jeff Okuda. But, I mean, in the situation where Isaiah Simmons goes three instead of Jeff Okuda, I mean, I don't think the Giants are taking Jeff Okuda. I don't think the Dolphins would take Jeff Okuda at five with Tua and Justin Herbert there. I mean, that would be bold, but if he's sly, I don't see that happening. And then Christian Fulton goes, Andrew Thomas, 18. That would be crazy. Xavier McKinney, 20. Jeff Gladney at 21. So here we are. We're on the clock at 22. I just took up half of our time running down the guys who have already been taken. And here are the guys who we could potentially take, just the top names here. Kalyvon Chaisson out of LSU. DeAndre Swift out of Georgia. A.J. Epinesa out of Iowa. Grant Delpit, safety LSU. Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins. You guys, do you see this name I'm highlighting?
Yetur Gross-Matos.
Thank you. I was going to ask, how do we pronounce that? Yetur?
I think so. I don't know.
Or is it Yeeter? I like Yeeter.
I don't think it's Yeeter.
Yeet! And then that's how he makes the selection. Oh, I was about to mispronounce this name that I'm highlighting. I thought there was a second C in that name, or a third C, where that L is, if you guys feel me.
Oh, no. Ross Blacklock.
His name is Ross Blacklock. I was going to say something else that I would have had to censor. And then LaVisca Chenault's down there at 32.
Wait, where's LaVisca? T. Higgins?
T. Higgins, 37. Same with Jalen Reagor. Okay, here's my issue. Here is my big issue. I don't think there is a receiver left on this board who's necessarily worth taking at 22. You guys know I love LaVisca Chenault, but, I mean, and if LaVisca Chenault was healthy, if there wasn't a knock on him in the world, if we knew that he was going to be able to play, or we knew that he was fully healthy and he'd be ready in time for training camp and he'd have enough time to really get himself into the offense, I would take him at 22 and not have a second thought about it. But he has a core injury. And he's going to have surgery, and that's a 4 to 6 week recovery time. He would probably be back in time for minicamp, probably be ready to go in time for training camp. But injuries scare me. When we're looking at a receiver who, in this draft process, has been compared to Sammy Watkins, he's been called a bigger Sammy Watkins, and now he's got the injury concerns to match Sammy Watkins. I mean, that's scary to me. I don't want to take a receiver coming off of surgery at 22. If he's there when we pick in the second round, all day I'd take LaVisca Chenault. I would take that swing in the second round. But at 22, and this, again, this is part of the reason why I kind of wanted to have trades so I could trade down here, and then I could trade down to like 32 and pick him then. But I don't want to take LaVisca Chenault at 22 given his injury concern. So how do you guys feel about that?
I'm good with it.
It's a fair concern to have.
Okay.
And with the prospects still on the board, I think, you know, drafting a guy like there's Kalyvon Chaisson, DeAndre Swift, AJ Epinesa, wow, I can't speak either, and Grant Delpit, all players who I think could really fit in Buffalo's system, especially Grant Delpit. He is like a Sean McDermott pick, in my opinion.
Get another guy from DBU to compliment Trey White. Here's the thing. I'm looking at receivers now. There hasn't been a run on receivers yet in this mock draft. There's been three. There's been Lamb, Judy, Ruggs, which they're probably Jefferson. The three. And Jefferson. Ooh, well, that's fine. That's fine. I didn't want him anyway. But that's really those are really the only guys who are gone. Obviously, those are the only guys who are gone. But looking at this, there's going to be a run on receivers. There's LaVisca Chenault, T. Higgins, Jalen Reagor, Denzel Mims, K.J. Hamler. Those are the five best remaining, but they're not going to be around when we go on the clock again. And that's my issue, is I want LaVisca Chenault, but I don't want him at 22. I'd like T. Higgins, but I don't think he's good enough to take at 22, but I know he's not going to be around when they go back on the clock in round two. So that's the thing. You either reach on a receiver at 22, given our situation, because we can't trade. We either reach on a receiver at 22 or we take the best receiver left in round two. And that's the thing. Do you want to reach on a guy and then but get a good player that you're reaching on? Or do you want to take the best player at a different position now and then take the best receiver in round two?
I mean, I've liked Chaisson for a while.
Here's my thing about Kalyvon Chaisson. I don't see him transitioning well to a 4-3 pass rusher. I don't like him with his hand in the dirt. He really didn't do that much. He was more of a he at times lined up as like a defensive end, but his hand wasn't in the dirt. So you're kind of taking him. How big is he? Let's look at this. He's 6'4", 250. He could probably play as a 4-3 defensive end, but he hasn't really done that. So do you take him thinking you can mold him into that? D'Lo, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I think you can, because he's not needed to be a massive starter right off the bat. He'll be more rotational with Jerry Hughes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you know, we have Trent Murphy on the other side, defensive end's going to be a need in 2021. I think this team has been starving for a big-time pass rusher.
On the outside,
on the outside for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Espinosa, or I just made up a name. Espinosa. You know what's really interesting? I'm not a big fan of, like, the combine and, like, what falls out and who goes up and down. And Espinosa was, like, listed as a loser from the combine by NFL.com. And I don't know. I think we could do fine with, you know, the Iowa product. But I just think Chaisson is explosive enough. And I think he could easily learn enough from Sean McDermott's defense, and learn enough from following Jerry Hughes to be an explosive player in 2021.
Here's my thing about, or here's just some fun facts about Kalavon Chaisson, because you're kind of convincing me here, D'Lo.
Okay.
He wears the number 18.
Boom!
At LSU. And if you guys remember, who else wore the number 18 at LSU, which is given to high character individuals at LSU?
I believe
it's Trey White.
Trey White.
Trey White did do that. This is according to Lance Zierlein, I believe, who compared him to Aldon Smith. Yes. He said, good lower body thickness for a longer frame. Hell yeah. Again, these draft profiles could just be like Tinder profiles as well. I have good lower body thickness.
If you know what I mean.
Yep. I'm a smart player on and off the field.
Love to see it.
I'm very quick laterally and up the field off snap. I'm tremendously agile and flexible.
Swipe right, swipe right, swipe right.
Yeah, I have a two-hand swipe and rapid inside spin counter. Oh my god, this is too much. When you think about it in that mindset, it's a lot of fun. So I like Chaisson. I like that idea. If you pick defense, it's a luxury pick, because they have one of the best defenses in the league. And if you're just adding a potentially dominant prospect at 22 who doesn't have to play right now, it's not a redshirt year, but it's a transitionary. Is that a word? Transitionary? It's not, but it's a transition year. Yeah, a transitional year. Thank you. It's again, they can make an impact, but in this defense, they can be put into situations where they can make the most impact given their skill set. So, given the receivers on the board, there's not one who I want to take at 22. So I'm kind of okay with the idea of passing on one and just taking who's left in the second round. I think we're going to double up on receiver no matter what, just given the depth of this receiving class and the talent of it. I think we're going to double up and get two very good receivers on day two or day three. Maybe we'll take Chase Claypool. You know,
I will force him into this mock draft. Take him right now. Why not? He's a perfect player.
Take him at 22.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Well, the rumor now is he's going to be a tight end.
That doesn't. The thing is, with his 40 time, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, he's agile. He's fast enough. He's agile enough to be a wide receiver. Like, I mean, he's not really, like, he's big, but he's not big. Like, he's very physically strong. He's not, like, you know, thick. So I don't see him transitioning into a tight end, really. I think he should stay as a wide receiver.
But what if you get him as a tight end who can split out wide?
I mean,
that's the thing. I think people think about it too traditionally. Like, oh, no, he's got to be a tight end. It's like, well, yeah, he can be a tight end and still split out wide. Like, he doesn't just have to line up at tight end. There's a lot of things you can do with him. So McKenna, you like a different LSU player here. Tell me about Grant Delpit.
I can't give you too many stats, but just watching him, and he plays at, he's listed as a safety, but he can play, like, really, from what I remember watching, he can play all over the place, and then he can turn into the Bills' starting safety in the future, because both Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are older.
Aging.
Yes, thank you, aging. And I just think he would fit really well into this Buffalo defense, who really value their defensive backs and can really turn a really good prospect into a great prospect, which we'll probably see with Grant Delpit.
Here's the thing. I don't know if you take a first round safety this year. Just because, I mean, as D'Lo, as you alluded to at our last mock draft, if you take a safety in the first two or three rounds here, you're essentially saying, okay, Jordan Poyer, we're not re-signing you. This is your last year here. You can, you know, have fun here, but also you're done here. We're not re-signing you. So I don't think either one of them, they're the starting safety tandem next year, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. I don't think either one of them you replace this year. I think if you give Jordan Poyer this year, if you don't like him then, if you want to replace him then you draft a high safety. But I don't know if you bring in someone this year when both of them are still good. I don't know if you bring in someone this year to groom behind Jordan Poyer, knowing that you're just going to let Jordan Poyer walk at the end of this year. And also, I don't think safety's that big of a need here. But also, edge rusher, I mean, I do think edge rusher is a need. I think edge rusher is a bigger need than safety. And like Trent Murphy, Jerry Hughes, they're both getting up there in age. And who do they have other than that? Shaq Lawson, who might not even be back, and Daryl Johnson. I do think they need an edge rusher. So I do like Grant Delpit, but I just don't know. I don't know how much he would play this year. I don't know. I mean, and again, you're kind of, if you're picking defense, you're kind of picking for 2021, as D'Lo said earlier. You're kind of, you know, letting them fill the role that gets the most out of their skill set in 2020, and then in 2021, they'll become the full-time player. But also, I don't know if you do that with a safety this year. So, I don't know. D'Lo, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I think also with safety, there's an outside chance that we're going to re-sign, you know, Jordan Poyer for a few more years, that he's still going to be consistent enough for a few more years, whereas Hughes is up there in age, and I think he ends up, you know, he plays out his last 2 years with Buffalo, and then it's ultimately he goes off into the twilight. I don't know if Trent Murphy's going to be around much longer. I just think defensive end is such a bigger need for the Bills right now.
I think I would agree. McKenna, are you going to hate us if we don't take Grant Delpit?
No, I think it's a strong argument. It makes sense, and, you know, I think Chaisson would be, I don't think, in the actual draft, I don't think he'll be at 22, but if he is, I think it's a good pick.
So you're not going to, like, leave the podcast? You're not just
going
to X out?
I'm out of here. I'm going back to
you guys.
England.
I quit. We're done. Okay. So now, do we have the Epinesa talk?
No.
I think Epinesa is the more traditional 4-3 guy. 6'6", 280. Ooh, big boy.
Long. Long frame. That's what they're going to say about him.
Does he have fluid hips?
He might have some fluid hips. NFL comp Trey Flowers, who they were in on last year, but he ended up reuniting with Matt Patricia. Second Matt Patricia reference on this podcast this week. Ooh, you know it's a good podcast when you talk about Matt Patricia twice.
Go Lions.
I think Chaisson's the more intriguing prospect than Epinesa, just given his athleticism.
Yeah, I agree.
And plus, you know, let's say Sean McDermott decides he wants to be a little more flexible and versatile with Chaisson, and he can use him in different formations in different spots. I mean, maybe he'll have his hand in the dirt. Maybe he'll be, you know, standing for some rushes, or maybe he'll be a guy that he can drop off. There's a lot of options with Chaisson, and I think he's a little more versatile to fit McDermott's defense.
I agree. I'm about 90% on Chaisson. I'm about ready to click this draft button that I'm hovering over. But do we talk about Jonathan Taylor?
No.
I love Jonathan Taylor. I think Jonathan Taylor is a great player, perhaps the perfect complement to Devin Singletary. But also, if you take a first-round running back, you're kind of just saying, we're going to run the ball. The running becomes the identity of this team, which I think it probably should be, given Singletary and Josh Allen's athleticism, and you bring in a first-round running back. I think hypothetically, running the ball should be the focus of this team. But also, you bring in a first-round running back, you're kind of stunting Devin Singletary's development, which is not something I want to do. So, is it Chaisson? Is Chaisson the pick?
I say you go with Chaisson.
McKenna, are you signing off here? You're Terry Pegula. You tell me.
You've swayed me. There are very good arguments for Chaisson, so...
Unless you want to talk about offensive linemen.
No, I don't.
Okay. Good enough.
Josh Jones. Or Yeter Grossmatos. Come on. There's so many fun ways to pronounce that name. You can go Yeter Grossmatos. And you're going with not that.
I just want to hear John Murphy say Yeter.
Bills win!
It's the first quarter.
Yeah. John, it's the draft. They can't win. This isn't... You're not Rex Ryan. You can't win the offseason here.
Oh my gosh, we're 33 minutes in and we haven't made a pick.
With the 22nd pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Kalavon Chaisson, Edge, LSU. And there we have it. And then at 23, A.J. Appanessa goes to the New England Patriots. I love it. Patrick Queen goes 24.
Former Bill.
Yep, former Bill's great Patrick Queen.
Now, Cesar Ruiz at 25 to the Vikings. There was actually a mock draft that had him going to the Bills at 22 to play guard.
I don't love that at all.
No.
Laviska Shenault went 27 to Seattle. Thank God. Thank God he goes to a good team.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so fun. Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
And Laviska Shenault. Oh, God. DeAndre Swift goes 32 to the Chiefs. Oh, my God. Well, there is another Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs. if they bring in, what's his name? If they bring in DeAndre Swift. Really no huge names. There really hasn't been a run on wide receiver
Dobbins
yet.
Just got drafted to the Dolphins.
Good for them. That's a good player. They whiffed on the quarterback, in my opinion. Kenneth Murray goes 42. Kenneth Murray free fell a little bit to 42 to Jacksonville. T. Higgins just 44. Goes 44 to the Colts to pair up with Tua Tagovailoa. That's fun. T. Higgins and Tua. Or did they take Jordan? No, they took, what's his name?
I think we're going to have a good wide receiver on the board for us.
We might have a good wide receiver here. Antoine Winfield Jr. 50. Just goes to Chicago. KJ Hamler goes to Dallas.
Damn it. We're getting
and Jalen Ray.
Of course, damn Eagles. It.
There, we said there was gonna be a run, and there was a lot of fun. So here are the best players available for us here at 22, according to the Draft Network. And by 22, I mean 54, obviously. So Denzel Mims out of Baylor, the wide receiver, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who McKenna, you were banging the table for last podcast.
I was.
Damon Arnett, the cornerback out of Ohio State, who we took in the last podcast. Donovan Peoples-Jones, Brandon Ayuk, Justin Madubuke, Curtis Weaver. If we did not take a wide receiver, if we did not take Kalavon Chaisson, I would say Curtis Weaver would be the player here. I don't know much about Denzel Mims. I really don't.
Went to Baylor.
Thank you. 6'3", 206. He doesn't run the most diverse tree in the world, and his breaks at times can be telegraphed.
I don't think Baylor has, like, the best crop of wideouts, right? Based on the offense they run?
His best trait is his catch radius. I just said catch weirdly. And his worst trait is lateral quickness. He projects as an X receiver in the NFL, which is kind of what they need, right? They need that outside big body guy. But is that Denzel Mims? Donovan Peoples-Jones, 6'2", 208, has a wonderful blend of size, hands, and ball skills, and also athleticism. Erratic quarterback play. Oh, okay. Oh boy. I said quarterback play. Here's the thing. We've talked about this on the podcast before. Shea Patterson.
Garbage boy.
Just an awful quarterback. Whoever takes Shea Patterson, I'm going to go LOL, LOL, LOL. Just because I'm going to tweet that when they take him. I'm just going to say, I'm going to tweet at the team and write LOL, LOL, LOL. You heard it here first. But Shea Patterson is an awful quarterback. Just very, very bad at most things.
Oh my goodness.
What is that? You watching some draft analysis on Shea Patterson?
God, Madicus came up. Wow, this is great.
So, I mean, that kind of plays in Donovan Peoples-Jones, that kind of helps him here, that he had a bad quarterback, because then you're like, you were still very good, and your quarterback was literally maybe the worst quarterback that Kyle has ever seen. That's a bit of a stretch. I covered Nathan Peterman for a short time, so That was a lot of fun. Oh, Nathan Peterman. What a guy. What's he up to?
He's not even good enough for the XFL.
Well, I think he's on a roster. I think he's in Oakland, or Las Vegas, sorry.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Dude, Nathan Peterman screams Las Vegas. Everything about Nathan Peterman screams Las Vegas.
That guy's going to go rowdy like Zay Jones.
Oh, boy. I remember I asked Zay Jones after Nathan Peterman and he got benched or whatever. Or no, it was before the first game. I asked Zay Jones, I was like, do you sense a new confidence in Nathan Peterman? You know, just a lob as I had to throw as a reporter for the actual team. I just had to throw lobs to the team or so the players could hit him out of the park. And I was like, so do you sense like this new confidence in Nathan Peterman as he enters the season as a starter? And Zay Jones is just like, I mean, he's kind of the same all the time. So Nathan, he was never going to work. Never going to work. So yeah, Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Hey, do you like Brandon Ayuk?
No.
Really?
I think Brandon Ayuk's fine. I've watched... Sorry, this is not a good podcast for me. Between my throat just doesn't want to... I'm not going to say that either. So, Brandon Ayuk, I think he's fine. McKenna and I talked about this on the Senior Bowl podcast. I think he adds to strength. I don't think he really offers anything different. I think he's a good as this... as this scouting report refers to him as. He's a big play threat. I think he's fast, but there's nothing really that separates him. I don't think he's an upper tier receiver in this draft. I think he's fine.
Just because like Todd McShay is putting him like as like a top 25 prospect. And I know McShay is just an analyst. He's not, you know, a GM or anything. Mm-hmm. But just after I think day one of the wide receivers being on the field, McShay bumped him up to like, I think he said something like Ayuk should be like serious round one consideration.
Here's the thing. NFL comp is Cordarrelle Patterson. Ooh. And that might turn you guys off to him. You might be thinking if his ceiling is Cordarrelle Patterson, very good returner, average receiver, in which case, I mean, let's not take him. But also, I've thought for 2 years now, since I've seen this Dable offense, I've thought Cordarrelle Patterson would be a wonderful player in this Bills offense. I really wanted them to take a swing at Cordarrelle Patterson in free agency last year, just because I think his skill set offensively, I think that would really complement what Brian Dable likes to do, and they needed a returner as well. So I thought Cordarrelle Patterson would have been not only a good returner, but a very good offensive player as well. And they ended up going with Andre Roberts, who's a pure returner, despite the fact that he caught a touchdown pass in the Pro Bowl. But he's... I mean, that kind of opens me up to him a little bit more if Cordarrelle Patterson is his NFL comp, just because that you're not getting a pure receiver. You're getting kind of a gadget player then. But also, that's not what the Bills need. They don't need a gadget player.
So here's the other thing. So I'm looking at Lance Zierlein's comp for him mm-hmm. is Robert Woods.
Bill's so great.
Ex-Bill's great. Yeah. Wonderful player. Well, they're very different players.
Yeah, I know. I don't know where the comp is. It's
wait, excuse me?
That doesn't really fit.
That doesn't...
The same player is compared to Cordarrelle Patterson and Robert Woods. Perhaps completely different players? That Ooh. Doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
What do they have on Donovan Peoples-Jones?
All right, hold on.
Thank you.
Hold on.
Well, I appreciate you for looking this
Let
up.
Let me look this up.
The NFL comp for Donovan Peoples-Jones on the Draft Network is Hakeem Nicks.
Lance Zierlein didn't list somebody for Peoples-Jones.
Oh, he's just unique. He's his own player.
I like both of them. I mean, I think both could do stuff. I feel like Ayuk's a bit of a freak because he, like, there was some weird stat that I read somewhere. He's only, like, 6 foot, 6'1", but is, like, mm-hmm. his wingspan is, like, 6'8".
Wow.
It's something crazy. I think it was like an Arizona website posted it, so I don't know if it was like a, you know, Arizona State like pro rah-rah thing, but like I don't know. I feel like physically like both these guys could be all right. I do like
Peoples-Jones is best utilized as a big slot that can help his team as a returner. They don't need a big slot.
They need a big slot, yeah.
They need an outside guy, which brings us back to Denzel Mims. Unless we pass on a wide receiver in this round as well. I don't think the Bills are in the position to not take a wide receiver in the second round.
I mean, I think you got to go Mims, Ayuk, or Peoples-Jones.
Let's look at Mims here.
I think Mims might be a better option just because he's bigger. He's more physical. I mean, we were sort of dissing the combine, but he ran a pretty good 40. So, you know, he is quick.
Did he have some issues with drops in college?
Let's look at his catching ability. His long arms are really effective here to keep his hands engaged and be a persistent pest on the boundary. Well, you want a pest on the boundary. That's what you want. he's got good effort here. Why does he keep saying here? Long arms are really effective here. He's got a good effort here. Where are we talking?
Right here.
What do the other analysts say about his traits when you have a chance?
Let's look at Joe Marino. he's most effective working the vertical plane where he generates excellent upfield push throughout his stream. Wish I could be a draft analyst. I would just make up words. I would just say river flow. I think that's a good one.
Does he have a comp like Kyle Krabs listed for him?
DJ Hackett. Whom? Ooh. Excuse me?
What? That's not sounding promising.
A steady producer for Baylor since 2017, Mims offers intriguing potential as an X or Z receiver. Okay, for a team searching for physicality, catch radius, and ball skills to round out its receiving core, Mims is an ideal target. That kind of sounds like what the Bills need. But...
So here's the other thing, too, that's good. He has time to grow.
Yes.
I mean, if we think he's going to start at the X position right off the bat, I think... You know, I don't know if that'll work out, but if we're still going to have, you know, John Brown out wide, it's just hard because the guy we want to bring in, we got to bring in somebody who's going to work the other side of John Brown. Realistically.
Which I think, I mean, this Solak has his pro comparison as Kenny Galladay. Kenny Galladay has developed into a very, very good wide receiver. So that comp kind of helps me out a little bit. His worst trait is route running. But you have John Brown, who's a very good route runner, who's probably the best route runner, maybe one of the best route runners in the league. Just so fluid, so just crazy. Are we assuming they bring someone in free agency here?
No, I don't think. I think Buffalo's probably going to try to bring in. I think their big free agent signing is going to be Yannick Ngakoue.
Cam.
So
Phillips.
I don't think they, like what wide receiver do you bring in and like. AJ Green, we've like discussed before on here, and Dilo's talked like wrote about it a couple times.
Got Amari a lot Cooper's of love not... for those.
Yeah, Amari Cooper's not gonna happen.
I saw an Instagram post that somebody predicted that what's his name, Amari Cooper is coming to Buffalo. How do you guys feel about that? Is that happening?
Especially after he said no.
Like, talk about to Buffalo and just be like, I'm not going to play here.
Talk about burning a bridge right off the bat. All right.
Never say never.
So if we're okay, so here's the other thing that I want to throw out to you. Do we deviate at all from the wide receiver thing and hope Van Jefferson's around in the third round? Or do we just say, you know what, let's take Mims?
Well, here's the thing. I was kind of open to the idea of taking both. I'm open to the idea of doubling up on wide receiver and bringing in both of them. Here's the thing. Van Jefferson, I've heard him described as a Keenan Allen clone. Mm-hmm. I've heard him described as just Keenan Allen. That's who he's going to be. That being said, I don't know much about Keenan Allen. I just know he's very good. Is Keenan Allen, he's a boundary guy, right? He's an outside guy.
I think
yes
so.
And no. Yeah. LA played him like a lot all over the place last season because he is he's very dynamic from what I remember watching, you know, and see a lot of the Chargers play, but he always puts up really great stats as well, but that might be due to the fact that their wide receiving core is a little lacking.
We really should have had a clock running.
We suck here. We're not very good.
Way over 10 minutes.
I think it's actually be Mims. I think everything we've been reading about him and, you know, he won't be the number one guy right away, but he can develop into that. which is, I think, something Buffalo desperately needs.
And we still have, you know, free agency period to go through before we, you know, truly see what the Bills will need in the draft. So I think we roll with Mims right here.
I'm going to say yes, probably. But here's the thing. I think there are more... If you guys would be open to taking Van Jefferson in this third round, then we could take, like, Donovan Peoples-Jones here. We could take a differing prospect. No, we're just going to take Denzel Mims.
Because here's the other thing. There's no guarantee that Van Jefferson's not going to go. If Peoples-Jones and Ayuk go by the, you know, end of the second round, early third round, somebody earlier in the third round is going to take Jefferson.
That lines up for Chase Claypool.
With the 54th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Denzel Mims, wide receiver, Baylor. There we go.
It's a scary pick.
Is it?
I don't know.
Curtis Weaver goes 57 to the Houston Texans. Damon Arnett goes to the Minnesota Vikings.
Last month we were getting Justin Jefferson in the second round, so I mean...
Yeah, it all changes. Adam Trautman. Oh, I didn't even see Adam Trautman. He would have been a great pick in the second round. Adam Trautman out of Dayton, the tight end. Donovan Peoples-Jones goes to the Bengals, their parent. And Brandon Ayuk. They're getting very good receivers in the third round here. Khalid Kareem, who I think we took last time. He goes to the Jets. Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes to the
Panthers. Like the fifth
Panthers.
Round, I think.
Kyle Duggar goes 70 to the... What? Those are the Miami Dolphins. Jalen Hurts goes to Jacksonville. Jalen Hurts was a guy. If he was available in, like, the fifth round, I was going to say, let's take a swing. Maybe he can be a gadget guy. Maybe we can turn him into Taysom Hill. But he goes in the third round here, which is not ideal for the old Buffalo Bills. Bryson Hopkins goes 79 to the New York Jets. Jake Fromm goes 81 to the Las Vegas Raiders. And that's fun. And we're coming up on the clock here quickly. A bunch of linemen are going now. So here we are. We're on the clock at 86. There are a few players here who are sticking out to me.
Do we go running back here?
I'm thinking we go Zach Moss, who some people have as RB1, despite the fact that a couple running backs have gone before him. Let's look at Zach Moss. Let's see what he's up to.
Is he a big boy? I like the Dylan kid from Boston College.
He's a true power back, a true compliment. Yeah. Zach Moss is 5'10", 222.
This is beefy.
Why is that the trend in running backs now? I mean, watching a little bit of the combine, that's the trend. Yeah. They're all short and stout.
God bless
them. Hard to tackle, you know, and they have that when they're so low to the ground and they're very thick, you know.
They're all fire high.
Change of direction. Wicked loose for a big man.
Wicked boost.
Yeah, like, oh, he's wicked.
Wicked loose.
He's going to the Patriots. We're not going to go with the Boston College kid. We're going to go with the guy who's wicked.
That was fun.
I don't know if you guys see, but this guy
brings the boomstick. I thought it was broomstick.
With him, Zach Moss brings the broomstick.
I was like, what?
This kid, he's just got a broomstick that he takes with him everywhere.
He's the Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh, if we take him, that's what we're calling him.
I say we just take him right now. Like,
he's the Wicked Witch of the West.
He doesn't have breakaway speed, which is fine because we want a compliment.
Well, Devin Singletary's not fast either.
He's like, what's the word they use? Like, sneaky quick?
Oh, yeah.
Sneakily athletic.
Like, once he gets through,
it.
Like, he busts through. Like,
yeah.
Well, that's the thing. If Devin Singletary was, like, fast, Devin Singletary would be, like, impossible to stop. Yeah, that's his kryptonite. He's just not fast.
I mean, do we think Zach Moss can be a better version of Frank Gore?
If that's his ceiling, I don't know if I want him in the second round or in the
third
round.
Well, I'm talking like Frank Gore, maybe not when he was good. 2019, but...
Pro comparison, Kareem Hunt, but he's simply not a fast dude. Can my guy run? Or can my guy catch? Moss can serve as the primary back in a committee who receives a lion's share of the touches, but he must be spelled by a speed back, which is not Devin Singletary.
I mean, Cam Akers here would... If we didn't have Singletary, like, we would just take Cam Akers and call it a day.
What's his lore? What's he up to? Cam Akers.
He's a good guy.
Found some production as a pass catcher. Here's the thing. I think to complement Devin Singletary, you need, like, a receiving back. You need a quicker receiving back. But, I mean, we complimented him with Jordan Howard on the free agent big board, yeah. Which he's not. So, I don't know. That's the thing with Devin Singletary, is he's such a unique player. You can complement him with either with a back. You just need a back who fits into a mold. You either need a power back or you need a speedy receiving back.
Like, if Zach Moss was, like, 6'2", he'd be like, all right, perfect, because that's the extreme compliment of Devin Singletary, but...
Which is why I think D'Lo wants A.J. Dillon or whatever his name is. Is that his name? Because he is the...
I mean, he's like 6'2", 247. Here's the thing. Singletary's 5'7", 203, right?
Yes.
I mean, this kid's 222, which I don't think is that bad.
Let's look at...
Let's...
Hunter Bryant. Hunter Bryant's a nice tight end.
I mean, Kareem Hunt's 5'11", 201.
Kareem Hunt, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he find some production as a pass catcher? Let me look up Kareem Hunt's stats. Because if we can bring in Kareem Hunt without the problematic past, I say you do it. I think there were reports last year that the Bills had some interest in Kareem Hunt. Because Kareem Hunt's a very good player.
I don't think he's coming here. Not a process guy.
Kareem Hunt's not coming here now. Skill set. In his rookie year, he had 53 catches for 455. That's fine. In 2018, he had 26 catches for 378 and 7 touchdowns. You can't look at his 2019 because he was in Cleveland. Like
what? 8 games? Not even?
Yeah. And he was with Freddie Kitchens, who couldn't make Odell Beckham a good receiver. So,
Eno
Benjamin?
I don't love Eno Benjamin. Malik Harrison. Bradley Anae. Thaddeus Moss. Big Thaddy Cool. How deep are we into this podcast? I feel like we're very deep. Oh my God.
Yeah, we're deep.
Jesus Christ.
So here's the thing. Between Akers, if we're going running back, I feel like Akers and Moss both have like RB1 potential.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems right now is that we have Singletary in our head. And we say, you know what? Do we want to take away that many carries from Devin Singletary? So, I don't know. Do you split carries?
I think you do. Because as I've said...
If we're content with it, I'd say let's go... Zach Moss came in at 5'9", 223, according to NFL.com. So that's his combine numbers.
I fear you're taking a second Devin Singletary.
And that's one of the worries. I feel like he's just a beefier Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
But the problem is, so if we waited on running back until round 4... I feel like we needed to come out with a running back who can carry the ball... Whatever, 8 to 12 times. Because you figure Singletary is going to get, 15 rushes a game and maybe 5 catches. So that'll be his 20 touches. That's what I think would be a decent compliment. I don't know where else you guys want to go. If you want to go tight end.
I don't... tight end is so interesting because there are so many players that we don't know enough about, really.
Yeah. And I feel like everybody that we have has, it's just,
they're all good, or the potential to be really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think Dawson Knox has the potential to be a very good player. Tyler Kroft, if he's healthy, he's a very good player. So.
Or do we go crazy and find a cornerback to play across from
Trey White? That's not a bad idea. I watched a lot of Notre Dame. Troy Pride Jr. is very good. He is a very good player.
And then you don't have to worry about Kevin Johnson if you know what his cost could be on the free agent market.
Excellent job in zone coverage. This is Troy Pride Jr. Instincts and propensity to get his hands on the football. He's not overly aggressive or physical. Has a force in zone. Well, yeah, they don't have either. Their corners aren't really aggressive. He could afford to be a better and more efficient tackler. I like Troy Pride Jr. I like the idea of a cornerback. I don't know if I like it in the third round, though. Here's the thing. as you guys were talking about, you run the risk. I mean, when you take an offensive skill position, or if you take an offensive skill position in this round, you're looking at guys who could take away snaps and stunt the development of players you already have on your roster. Like Zach Moss, yeah, if they didn't have Devin Singletary, sure. Cam Akers, if they didn't have Devin Singletary, sure. Hunter Bryant, if they didn't have Dawson Knox, then sure. So I think you do take someone who is supplanting someone who's not that high of a ceiling. I don't know what Levi Wallace's ceiling is, which is why Troy Pride Jr. could be an intriguing pick. I don't know what Harrison Phillips' ceiling is.
Since he was injured last season, I always forget about him.
Which is why Devon Hamilton is not a stupid pick here from Ohio State. I
mean,
like,
if you're not, you know, depending on what happens with Jordan Phillips, Devon Hamilton could be. It's just interesting because the need, like, we want the offense to be so much better, and I don't think it's a problem to take another skill guy necessarily, because this team still lacks skill players on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Do you take Zach Moss and just say, I mean, having two very good running backs is a good problem to have?
Yeah, and I think it is, because it's not like we have like Fred Jackson and Marshawn Lynch and then we're drafting C.J. Spiller.
Right.
You know, I think having two is going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, and like I just ranted about earlier, I mean, this is a team that probably should have, I mean, if you have two bowling balls coming... And we have to take Josh Allen into account here. Josh Allen, he's not the fastest, but he can get to the outside. He can make you miss. Yeah, so if you just have two bowling balls and Josh Allen, that's...
And defenses will get tired of trying to tackle, like, these shorter guys who might make you miss or might run through. You don't know because they are so, you know, they're bigger guys. Oh, my goodness.
Cam Akers' comp, according to Lance Erline, is Duke Johnson.
He's not bad.
Had a good season.
Yeah, I mean, correctly. I don't feel like you could go wrong with either guy.
I'm thinking Zach Moss, just so we can move on.
That's
because he wouldn't be a bad player.
He wouldn't be.
Do it.
With the 86th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Zach Moss, running back out of Utah.
All right, so Van Jefferson went 88.
Ooh, went to New Orleans.
Hamilton.
That'll be a fun offense. Bradley and A to Las Vegas. All players I really don't know too much about. Malik Harrison.
So Cam Akers, 95 to the Broncos.
We're in the fourth round now.
So now we got to start thinking, where are we going next? Like, we're going day three picks. So now we're starting to look at filling holes, looking values, taking swings.
I back.
Oh, hello. Welcome back.
What'd I miss?
Troy Pride, 103.
Thaddeus Moss, big Thaddeus.
Van Jefferson got drafted. Guys, it's time. We all know who it's time for.
It's time.
He's not gonna be there.
He's gonna be there.
If he's available,
you just hit it and we go on. Can you say that tight end's name, Kyle?
Albert Okwugbanam.
That was good.
Yeah.
If he's there, we take him. If he's there, we take him. If he's there, we take him.
116 Rams.
We're one pick away.
Fingers are crossed.
With the 118th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Chase Claypool, wide receiver, tight end, out of Notre Dame.
McKenna, how are your feelings about this pick?
I love this. Is the perfect pick for Buffalo. I've waxed lyrical about Chase Claypool so much in these past couple weeks. I tweet about him way too much, I think. I find people who agree with me on Chase Claypool, and I just tweet at them. So, yes, it's a perfect pick.
Well, here's the thing with Chase Claypool, right? I haven't drafted him yet in here, but we are going to take him. I like, especially hearing now that some teams see him as a tight end. I mean, even if you can play him at both, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, then you have you can have Dawson Knox, Chase Claypool sets. Which is just, that is mismatch galore. That is mismatch galore. There's not a linebacker keeping up with Dawson. You don't have two linebackers on a team who are keeping up with Chase Claypool and Dawson Knox. So that is just, that's glorious in and of itself. So Chase Claypool is just a walking mismatch for linebackers. And then if you have him on like a 5'10 corner on the outside, he can keep up with him down the field and then go up and get it because he's got 5 inches on him. So I think he would be a just, you can play him at tight end and wide receiver. There's so many things you can do with him, which is why I think he's a very intriguing player, especially in round four.
Boom.
The pick's been made. Chase Claypool's a Buffalo Bill. I think he's thus far the only pick that has stayed from our last mock draft. So, yeah, and honestly, I don't think we're done at wide receiver.
Ooh.
I don't. There are a few guys in, like, round six. There are athletes. There are intriguing guys who I like the idea of. Colin Johnson just went to the Packers.
That's a good pick for the Packers, I think. They need a better outside guy.
Round five.
We're in round five now. We might not take a lineman in this class on either. We might not take an offensive lineman. So yeah, we're looking at BPA now. We're gonna consistently look for BPA, because you're not trying to fill holes in round five.
I think they should draft AJ Green just to say we drafted AJ Green.
Just so we can say we got AJ Green.
I mean, Michael Pittman's still on the board. How about the tight end from Cincinnati?
We just took a tight end.
Hey, yeah, it's true.
Josiah DeGora. So it's Josiah. You guys see why it's Josiah now, I'm sure. No. I mean, because in my opinion, I mean, you guys might feel differently, but I just think we took Chase Claypool to kind of be both, to kind of be that intriguing mismatch at tight end as well as being outside player.
I would just put Claypool out wide. I wouldn't even mess around. These wide receivers have to learn way too much coming up. I think that's why so many wide receivers struggle, because they have to learn so many different positions out wide and so many different routes that they didn't usually run in college. They're not, you know, looking over to the sideline to figure out what route they're going to run against what defense.
I don't know. I mean, but like, even so, I don't know if tight end's that big of a need.
I mean, Croft. It's definitely not necessarily a need.
With Tyler Croft, Dawson Knox, Tommy Sweeney, Lee Smith, Jason Kroom, the list goes on. They've got some players there. And we're at 137, then we're up again at 149. So there's a quick turnaround.
I feel like this is where we can get some either cornerback help or go in the trenches. Like, do we want to find somebody who might be able to, you know, be the guy behind Star Latulele?
We're looking at Jordan Elliott now, interior defender out of Missouri, 6'4", 315. This is from Joe Marino, ascending player who performed at his best during his final season. Slow burn pass rusher. Okay, so as you said, he would be like a Star Latulele type.
Which I don't think Buffalo really needs.
They don't need a Star Latulele type?
His comp is Dwan Edwards, who played for Buffalo.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. Dwan Edwards was like, I'm almost certain he was like a higher draft pick on the Bills.
Nice.
Or high, like,
wouldn't ask him to play two gap from the nose or from the B gap. Well, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you ask him? I don't know.
Yeah, he was a second round draft by the Bills. Oh no, by the Ravens.
See,
actually.
I knew he was. Yeah, I remember he was like 98, maybe.
I was 1 year old, maybe.
Nice.
Well,
he wore 98 or something funky. What about?
Yeah, what's the corner situation?
What's this AJ Green guy?
He's a receiver.
AJ Green's a receiver. Played for Cincinnati.
I mean, this
as the Cowboys left cornerback. Sorry, I guess he played for Dallas.
Damn it. He looks pretty flexible.
Green is comfortable with a variety of different coverage styles. Oh, cool. He can be.
Yeah, Buffalo loves that.
So that's the thing about draft profiles is you read things from like fifth round prospects and it makes it sound like they're flawless. It's like, well, then why is he a fifth round prospect?
I mean, 6'1". He's a decent height. It says strength is a problem, so you can stick him in the weight room. I mean, if he understands man and zone coverage and he has plenty of reps in it, I mean, he'd probably be a good depth player. And if you're like, hey, go hit the weight room, we have the best facilities to, you know, put on another 10 pounds of muscle, I mean, I don't think that would be. I mean, we're in the fifth round, so it's not somebody who right. we're thinking is going to, you know, supplant Levi Wallace or even, like, if they sign Kevin Johnson to really push him out of the way, but to get somebody who might be a player.
And, you know.
Are you bringing in someone to push here?
Buffalo will develop him into a pretty decent player, which is good.
Because that's what they do. They have a good eye for defensive talent. They take late-round guys and turn them into something, so. Is AJ Green the pick? Are we just going to say, yeah, that's good with me? We're moving on?
He's looking good.
All right, I'm writing it down. Give me 1 second. It takes a long time to write, you feel me?
We
Oklahoma State.
We should,
what were you going to say?
We should definitely like compare all of our mocks in an Excel sheet and see how much crap has changed for 4 months.
I think Chase Claypool is the only one that stayed the exact same spot between the last two. He might have gone the
You might
round,
be right.
But it might have been fourth. I don't know.
I wrote down the mock somewhere. I'll try to find it in the same notebook. So, crazy. So, with the 137th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select A.J. Green, cornerback, Oklahoma State. Not wide receiver, Georgia. So, yeah, we go right back on the clock here, which is interesting, to say the least. Is Antonio Gibson? We're not going to take Antonio Gibson just because we've doubled up on wide receiver and we've taken a running back already. And Antonio Gibson, well, he just went anyway, so I'm not even going to talk about him. But so yeah, any names on here sticking out to you guys?
What about I know in a previous mock, well, Zuniga went 148, Jabari from Florida. He was one in a previous mock draft. He we picked him, or I don't know if we picked him, but I know somebody said he'd be a fit for the Bills as like a depth edge guy, but he's gone. So those last 30 seconds of your lives you can throw away.
Yeah. That's that whole time in between, we were just like, oh yeah, this could be a good pick. Oh, he's gone.
He's gone. He's gone. Forget it.
Do we
go safety and bring in somebody who might be the heir apparent to Jordan Poyer?
I think I would do that in the fifth round. I wouldn't do it in the first. I would do it in the fifth. Well, no, because, I mean, they've done that. They've done... Saran Neal, who didn't pan out. Yeah. They turn him into a nickel. I mean, you bring in intriguing athletes. Yeah. And they did that with Jaquan Johnson. They have been taking late-round safeties just to see if there's something there.
Wasn't Jaquan Johnson injured, though? Or was he just on the practice squad most of the season?
I think Jaquan Johnson was playing most of the year.
What? I don't remember that one time he got the interception that was called back due to a block in the back or something.
Yeah, Vosion Joseph was out.
That's what I might be thinking
year.
Of. Vosion, yeah, he did get injured.
And Johnson, I think, played some special teams.
Yeah, he was a teamer. He played 13 games.
A lot of special teams.
Shows you how impactful he was, right? But again, he's like a fine player. So let's see what Jordan Fuller's all about.
Let's give him a peek.
6'2", 205. Looks to be a terrific natural athlete. His dynamic range when confident in keys to drive into action. And has impressive sideline-to-sideline mobility.
Abysmal tackler.
Well, that's not good.
That's bad.
That's very bad.
Right. If he's an abysmal tackler, that means he's not good at tackling, you know?
Thank you, Booger.
J.R. Reed. 6'1", 194. He's a strong in-box player. Okay, so we know what he's about. Is not as strong in coverage in the deep zone. They don't need Saran Neal again.
No.
I don't know if you guys... I mean, I like Saran Neal, but do I want two Saran Neals? I don't know if I want two Saran
Neals.
There's
probably not an interior
Jennings guy all about.
Is there an interior offensive lineman that makes any sense to bring in and try? Because as of right now, let's say they don't sign Quentin Spain. We're gonna have to do something. And there's nobody.
There is nobody.
Some tackles floating around.
Trey Adams, who I think we talked about last time. Tyler Clark, who we took last time.
Is there a linebacker that we have that could fill in?
Yeah, I was thinking linebacker. 155, this Joe Bocci Jr. And he would be a fan favorite just because his name is similar to that of a popular pizza place. Yeah, let's stop talking about the draft. How do you guys feel about Bocci Pizza?
Never, don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I'd have to have another one. It's been a while.
Yeah. I had one like a few months ago. I would say like pizza ranking, Imperial's probably number one for me. And Bocce's just kind of like Imperial-esque, but it's not as good. Hmm. So, and thus, I'm kind of souring on Joe Bocci Jr.
Well, it says wildly disappointing in terms of athletic ability and in coverage.
Well, that's not what the Bills like at linebacker.
That's not,
they like
no. He's a Mike linebacker.
I mean, He kind of sounds like Preston Brown to me. Just reading this, he kind of seems like a Preston Brown type. Just Mike linebacker, kind of there. Not going to be very impactful. Let's see if anyone compared him to Preston Brown, in which case I am going to become a draft analyst. Oh, he failed a PED test in 2019. Out. Joe Bocci Jr., what are you doing?
Jesus. Not part of the process.
Not.
He's not a process guy.
Kamal Martin. 6'3", 245 out of Minnesota. PJ Fleck guy. He seems to play develop. He seems play development reasonably well. What does that mean? He seems play development reasonably well.
I believe that's supposed to say C's. I believe that's the wrong verb.
Crabs. like what he offers in navigating the box too. He excels in tight quarters
then,
combat.
Tinder profile.
I can't even read that sentence again. That's so. Oh my god.
We're not sure if he's ever going to consistently stack and shed to cover multiple gaps. Oh.
I just want an athlete. He's not super fluid, and he shows some tightness. I just want an athlete at
what
linebacker.
What about Shaquille Quarterman? If I remember.
Yeah, he's not an athlete.
I remember seeing something about him. Like, I remember it from a Miami game.
6'1", 241. He's not an athlete. He's the leader of that defense, but I don't think he's a physical and emotional leader on the Canes defense. He's an intense competitor and love that fire that he brings to the game in the box. He's as stout as they come and built thick. Isn't overly dynamic in lateral mobility, shallow zones only, even coverage. He's not what they need. They need an athlete, I think.
They just need somebody who can come in if, you know, Tremaine Edmonds or Matt Milano get hurt. That we're not going down to, you know, who did we have last year? Corey Thompson.
Julian Stanford. Well, if you want to back up Mike, Shaquille Quarterman's probably your guy, but do you want to take Tremaine Edmonds back up in the fifth round? Is that something you want to do?
I don't know. I just feel like we need an athlete to get some depth there. I mean,
right. I think you need an athlete. You don't want...
I mean, and plus they play so much, you know, nickel anyway. It's not like it's a true Mike anyway. So we just need somebody who can move.
Let's look at Jacob Phillips out of LSU. We already took one.
He's a good competitive toughness, so process guy.
Mm-hmm. Strong effort. Fire. Not great in lateral mobility.
Good.
Was that a random Beavis and Butthead reference? fire. he's not a great lateral, not good in coverage. What are these guys doing?
No, right now, he's a bit duck-footed.
What does that mean?
For feet and change of direction?
So he has webbed feet. That's what they're getting
in the water,
at.
Though.
He didn't...
They're saying he has webbed feet, I don't think he and he can Oregon. Swim, so he'd be good on Lake Erie. This is stupid.
Is there an athlete in the secondary even? Like, I don't know.
Do you want to take a safety and see if you can transition?
No, I don't know what to do with this one. It's the fifth round. There's got to be somebody good that...
Well, there's... That's why you kind of just... Take a swing.
Yeah, like,
There's no interior guys.
I mean, do you take a swing at somebody who could be Deion Dawkins, like, severe backup?
What's Jack Driscoll doing? What's his lore? He doesn't have the foot speed to effectively temper. Nope. This, if I would trade this pick, if I could
I
trade
would
this
trade
pick,
it to 2022.
Yeah, I would just get like a fourth rounder in the next draft just
Anfreen,
because this is
Anfreen Jennings from Alabama.
Do you doubled up? I'm even losing my mind. Do you double up on edge? Anfreen Jennings. He aligns as an edge defender in the Clemson Tide hybrid. What? Oh, Crimson Tide. Jesus.
Yeah.
I was like, wait.
Famously,
the Clemson Tide.
Oh man.
In the passing game, his production has superseded his skill set. Shows very good strength and pop in his hands to disengage close in on the quarterback. No. Not a dynamic athlete. I want an athlete!
There's no athletes this late.
This is stupid. Trade the pick. Bravian Roy. No analyst reports.
He's the one.
Thank you.
Baylor.
Harrison Bryant, do you take a tight end here? The FAU kid? Terrell Burgess.
Another Utah guy.
He's played in every single game in Utah's defense, and they have a good defense. He started his contributions on special teams, then as a rotational safety, and now he's the starting strong safety. Reliable tackler, can lose ball carriers at times due to a failure to wrap up. I'm at the point where I don't care. I just simply don't care. He's more of an impact defender. This is Antoine Brooks Jr. We are getting to, like, just... this is ridiculous. Really nice finishing skills as a tackler. Fastest when he's able to trigger the teeth of the play. Zone coverage skills. Really like his anticipation with task, with working the flats or hooks. Showing good anticipation. Competitive toughness, red hot motor. Haven't seen a great deal of hip hinge in coverages to play with. Needed swiftness to cover ground as a deep defender. Do we take Antoine Brooks Jr.? Versatility.
He's been valued as a quasi linebacker.
Okay,
so
he's got
a little flexibility. So I have versatility. So I'd say let's do it.
Yeah. You can put him. You can do whatever you want with him. So with the 149th pick and the 2020 NFL draft, Buffalo Bills select Antoine Brooks Jr.
We gotta fill out our practice squad roster. So let's go.
Antoine Brooks Jr. He was from Maryland, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Boys, we are making quite the draft board. All right, so I think next time we have two picks left, correct? We have a sixth rounder and a fifth, or we have two sixth rounders, I do believe. Unless, yes, we do. We have two sixth round picks. So I kind of want another defensive lineman. I kind of want an offensive lineman. Just because I think they're going to take an offensive lineman. And then there's a guy who I'm going to pitch for this final pick, and you guys can tell me how you feel about it. So here we need to, we're on the clock again. Nobody big has gone. Lamar Jackson went. Cornerback out of Nebraska went to the, whatchamacallits, to the Miami Dolphins. I'm having trouble identifying that logo today. Again, there's no interior lineman. We're in a position... we're in a better position to reach on a lineman than we were in the fifth round, but it would still be a reach, I think. So is there a tackle or a defensive tackle?
I mean, we could swing at who's the top tackle?
Justin Heron, offensive tackle out of Wake Forest. Heron has the length needed to win outside in the NFL and uses it to elongate his opponent's path to the quarterback. Well, that's what you need. Let's see. Does he... Well, that's not much.
And that's leading into the 2019 season.
What's that?
Decent run blocker. Decent pass blocker. I don't know.
I don't like him. Sorry. Sorry, Justin.
Wow.
I'm sure you're a great guy. Let's look at Tommy Kramer out of Notre Dame. What can you tell me about Tommy Kramer?
He went to Notre
McKenna.
Dame. He's 6'6".
Can you tell me about his huge, wide, big, large body?
I can. It's very big. It's huge and wide.
Do you want to take a...
What about large?
Do you want to take a swing at somebody whose dad was a former player?
Yes.
Like John Runyon?
What?
John Runyon's a tackle. His dad was a really good tackle.
Where do you see him?
He's
right
lower.
There. 232. Went to Michigan.
There we go. Started every game at left tackle. Excellent mover for height. Well, he's like later. We don't have a seventh round pick, though. So.
No, that's true.
You're saying his dad was good?
His dad was really good. That's the only reason.
Did he play for Carolina? Did he play for Carolina?
No, unfortunately. I think he was an Eagle, I think.
Oh, so you're saying he might have the McDermott connection?
Possibly. Something crazy like that.
I looked up John Runyon, who is a former U.S. representative. 6'7", offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah, he played for Houston.
Houston, and then he was in Philly. He was in Philly from 2000 to 2008. That overlaps with Sean McDermott, does it not?
I think so.
In Philly, I think... Are you guys good with John Runyon?
Started 190 consecutive games.
with the 168th. This is not a good
pick. This is a horrible pick.
A reach and a half. But
I mean, you don't have to. I'm just, it's like literally the only name right now that looks like.
Well, who else is there? That's the thing. Do you, is Tyler Clark still here? We took Tyler Clark last time. He's not. Tyler Clark is not here. Benito Jones. Do we like Benito Jones?
Big, big dude.
This is a big, big dude. He's younger than me, which I don't like. Isn't a killer, but it's certainly impact. He's impactful. Okay. For teams looking for stout play and occupation interior DL who can keep linebackers clean to flow on the second level, is that what they want? Do they want a Benito Jones type? Benito Jones or John Runyon?
Well, we could draft Benito Jones and then draft John Runyon with the second pick in the sixth round.
Well, Kyle's got a pick for 181.
Oh, that's right.
I'm gonna pitch something to you. Do you want to take Benito Jones? What's a bigger need? Potential depth tackle or potential depth defensive tackle? Because that's what we're looking at right now.
I say defensive tackle.
Yeah.
I think he can develop into a good player just because.
What the 168th pick? He was a five-star high school prospect as well, so maybe he can do that again. With the 168th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select Benito Jones. He would be a fan favorite because his name's Benito from Ole Miss. All right. So, guys, there was a player who met with the Buffalo Bills at the Combine this last week now. I think he's an interesting player to bring up, if I can find him. And his name is Lynn Bowden. Lynn Bowden is just an athlete. You don't know what he's going to be in the NFL. You don't know if he's going to be a wide receiver. You don't know if he's going to be a running back. He even played quarterback at Kentucky as well. So I like the idea of bringing in Lynn Bowden because you can kind of make him into your own Taysom Hill. You can line him up wherever you want, whether that be in the backfield as a wide receiver, even as a situational quarterback. If you want to have some running sets, you can bring in Lynn Bowden to do that. And I like the idea of bringing in, manufacturing your own Taysom Hill, but that being said, there's only one Taysom Hill. I don't know if Lynn Bowden really projects to be that in the NFL. He could be if he's in the right scenario, but I don't know if that's what he's going to be. And I don't know. I don't know if I would take him in the sixth round. I like him, but would we rather have an offensive tackle than Lynn Bowden Jr.?
No.
You
might as well take a swing at the end. I mean,
yeah.
This is the team that took a swing at Austin Prohl 2 years ago. So,
XFL mm-hmm. legend.
Yes. KJ Osborne, former Buffalo Bull.
Hell yeah. Went to Miami and kind of sucked.
Oh, my.
Is it Lynn Bowden?
Yes. I like the idea of having our own.
Oh, and we have another pick at 187. Damn.
Why?
What?
Right?
Yeah, that's what it says. Huh, the more you know. Well, that's unfortunate. Well,
AJ Dillon, there he is.
We already took a running back. You're just saying?
I don't give a poop.
You just messing around a little bit? Have we taken a linebacker?
Okay, I mean, I know that we've drafted a couple of wide receivers. But Antonio Gandy-Golden still being available?
You took Denzel Mims.
I don't... Guys, he's like, he's just a playmaker.
You took two of them, though.
You can never have enough playmakers. And then draft Lynn Bowden as well.
We haven't taken him yet. That's just implied.
I mean, Justin, the kid from Wake Forest, I think we looked at before. Justin
Strait. We were looking at Heron.
We've looked at him before.
Mm-hmm. Are we an hour and a half
deep?
Yes. We are.
Oh, God. Ah!
Two more picks.
Okay.
I would say take the linebacker.
But is he good? Motor is hot. Sideline to sideline potential. There we go. With the 180th
yes!
pick in the 2020 NFL draft, Buffalo Bills select Justin, which is your name, Justin.
Thank you.
Justin Sternad.
I feel like it should be Strand.
Strand.
Justin Strand out of Wake Forest. Wake Forest is in Carolina, right? North Carolina?
Yeah, sure. I think so.
Who knows? I don't. My ears are literally hurting at this point because my headphones have been on for so long. This is ridiculous. DJ Wonum. We haven't taken an offensive lineman, but I don't think we need one. I think I like the offensive line for the most part, and I don't think bringing in a tackle or a lineman this late in the draft is going to really help that.
I mean, Justin Heron, like what another Wake Forest product, what's that going to do?
Yeah, I'd rather take an athlete who can potentially contribute in a variety of ways than I would a depth offensive tackle or a depth offensive lineman, especially this late in the draft. So here's the debate, and it's going to be quick just because I don't want to take all day. Antonio Gandy-Golden or Lynn Bowden, who offers something that we don't, that the Bills don't have and that we haven't addressed in this draft? Lynn Bowden is like, they could use him similarly to how they use Isaiah McKenzie, but in more ways, if that makes sense. They could use him out wide, in the slot, in motion, and they can even line him up as a running back, and they can even line him up as a quarterback to take direct snaps, do options, just do quarterback runs. He can actually, he can throw the ball because he did that at Kentucky. I like that. I think he offers more this late. I think he's more intriguing of a prospect than Antonio Gandy-Golden. But Antonio Gandy-Golden's kind of this guy where just, like, he didn't play at a big school. He played at Liberty, but he was dominant at Liberty. So that's kind of the thing is he – but you took Denzel Mims. You took Chase Claypool. I think you took two players who already kind of fit that.
I mean, Lynn Bowden has a very good draft profile on NFL.com through Zerline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his comp is Randall Cobb.
Oh, okay.
Kind of crazy for a guy that's in the seventh round.
Not going to get drafted, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get it.
I would take Lynn Bowden. I think I like Lynn Bowden. I like Antonio Gandy-Golden a lot. And if we had taken Donovan Peoples-Jones in the second round, or if we hadn't taken Chase Claypool, I would be pounding the table for Antonio Gandy-Golden right now. But just given the other players that we took in this draft, I think Lynn Bowden's the better fit here.
Yes.
Okay, sounds good. With the 187th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select Lynn Bowden, offensive weapon, Kentucky. Do you remember when the Jags took Denard Robinson out of Michigan a few years ago and they tried to list him as offensive weapon? They wouldn't list him as an actual position, God. And the NFL was like, you can't do that.
No.
you got to put a position on him.
He's an offensive weapon. That's what he is. That's what he does.
And he wasn't that, if you remember correctly. Oh, Antonio Gandy-Golden goes to San Francisco. Very fun pick.
Well, I mean, Jimmy G is not that good of a quarterback, but, you know, waste of a pick.
Ooh. Remember A.J. Dillon went to the Cardinals? The Cardinals got very good in this draft. But if you remember, I think it was a podcast before the Super Bowl. I said, I do think Jimmy G can win you a game. Oof. So we will wait for this draft to conclude here. It's going to take
Joshua
a little
Kelly,
bit.
I can't believe he was that late. He had a really, really good Senior Bowl.
Is he good? James Morgan. Doesn't James Morgan have like an insurance firm or something? Am I crazy here? Let me look up James Morgan. Stanley? Let me see how I know that name. James Morgan. No, I'm wrong.
I think
there is
a
Morgan.
Morgan Stanley.
Yes, you're right. It's J.P. Morgan.
J.P. Morgan.
Oof. So, yeah, this draft is coming to a close. Juwan Jennings to Green Bay. They took a few receivers.
I think it would be a prop
class.
Bet to see if the Bills would take three wide receivers.
Well, here's the thing. Technically, they took three wide receivers. But they took a wide receiver, a tight end wide receiver hybrid, and an offensive weapon who just is listed as a wide receiver. So, let's look over our draft again. With the 22nd pick, we took Kalavon Chase on, the edge rusher. He can help you in a variety of ways defensively. If you have his hand in the dirt or not, he's going to help you. He's a very good player, and we got him at 22. With the 54th pick, we took Denzel Mims, the wide receiver out of Baylor, who is your traditional boundary guy, fills something they don't have. Zach Moss in the third round of 86. We took the complement to Devin Singletary. They're kind of similar players, but they're going to complement each other, and running the ball will benefit as a result because you have two good running backs. At 118, we took Chase Claypool, wide receiver out of Notre Dame, who, if you use him as a tight end, did I say running back out of Notre Dame? Who cares? Wide receiver out of Notre Dame, who is very, if you want to use him at tight end, he's a walking mismatch. If you want to use him on the boundary, he can do that as well. With 137, we took A.J. Green, cornerback out of Oklahoma State, who will come in and hopefully push Levi Wallace. If not, he's a special teamer slash potential practice squad guy. At 149, we took Antoine Brooks Jr. out of Maryland, a safety slash nickel linebacker slot guy. You can kind of mold him into whatever you want, which is why he's intriguing. You can mold him into Jordan Poyer's successor, or you can have him as Lorenzo Alexander's successor. It really doesn't matter. Benito Jones at 168, rotational guy. He'll come in to spell Star Latulele or Ed Oliver, whatever. Maybe even a practice squad guy. Just good to have depth at defensive tackle, youth depth at defensive tackle. At 181, we took Justin Strand, linebacker out of Wake Forest. Sideline to sideline, rangy athletic linebacker, which they need athletic depth at linebacker, who can come in to spell Matt Milano or Tremaine. I mean, he's not going to be a Mike linebacker, but he'll come in to spell and add athleticism at linebacker, which is something they need. And then at 187, we took Lynn Bowden Jr., wide receiver, tight end, quarterback, special teamer, defensive tackle, defensive end, cornerback. He can do it all. Lynn Bowden, just an athlete. And you get him in the sixth round, just somebody who can really come in and do whatever you want offensively. I was joking about defense, obviously, but he can come in and literally do whatever you want offensively if that thing is not pass blocking or run blocking. So I think that's an intriguing pick in the sixth round. Boys, how do we feel about the draft?
I think it's a solid draft.
I think it's a solid draft as well. I think they addressed their needs. Let me see if I can remember.
I have it in front of us, the original mock.
Awesome. Who do we take?
Okay, so round one, Laviska Shenault, obviously. In the second round, we had Damon Arnett, cornerback from Ohio State. And third round, it was Khalid Karen, edge rusher, I believe, out of Notre Dame. Fourth round pick, Chase Claypool, you know, as we do, Notre Dame. Fifth round, Tyler Clark, defensive tackle out of Georgia. Sixth round, Patrick Queen, linebacker.
Nice. That's a good value.
Seventh round, Kennedy Brooks out of Oklahoma.
Who's not even
in the draft. In the eighth round, eighth pick, Michael Anunu. I can't read my own handwriting.
Oh, yeah, the defensive or the offensive lineman from Michigan.
And then
Michigan.
Our final pick was Geno Stone, safety out of Iowa.
Nice. Hey, I like this draft better, I think. I think this is a better overall draft. I just realized I'm sitting very far back from my microphone. So this podcast is just, people aren't going to listen to 138 anyway. So I'm going to give this draft an A+.
Yes, we won the offseason.
We won the draft, won the offseason with Kalavon Chase on Denzel. Actually, I don't know. It's fine. It's a fine draft. I would be like, okay, that's pretty good. I think that wraps it up for this week. Make sure to follow Bills Wire on Twitter, at the Bills Wire, it's on Facebook and Instagram as well. You got to find it, though. It's a mystery. Make sure to follow D'Lo on Twitter at
Jay DeLauro.
McKenna on Twitter at
McKenna Middle.
Oh, McKenna, we forgot to have your roommate announce the second or the seventh round pick.
We didn't have the seventh round pick, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. it was all a joke.
Boom!
Make sure to follow me on Twitter if you want to. I don't care. Actually, don't. Don't follow me on Twitter. I'm not going to give you my @. You can't follow me on Twitter. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Buffalo.
Bye.
Buffalo. 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 Buffalo.